Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Talking about the issues that matter to Montana statewide. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
It's David Noble filling in for Aaron Flint. That's Noble with a K. I'm an attorney here in Billings. I also have an online presence at LectureFan, LCTRFAN, if you want to find me online. We got former Senator Jeff Essman on the line. Former Senator Jeff Essman, thanks for calling in.
You bet, David. Glad to be here this morning. It's going to be a wild day, and it started off in a wild manner. That's for sure.
Yeah, it did. So I kind of gave a little summary right there before the bottom of the 6 o'clock hour on this story out of the Montana Senate. With Senator Jason Ellsworth. We got a lot of people that kind of join us here right at 7. So if you want to kind of give your own summary or add to what I said and then kind of give us kind of what are your thoughts on what's going on there?
Well, the state Senate has got a, you know, in my estimation, they need to bring some accountability to Senator Ellsworth. I think the two key comments, and you did cover, you know, I do want to give a compliment to the Montana legacy media, the press. Well, that's not all legacy, but there has been some competitive reporting on this story, and I think that's good. I hope they're still out there working to see, you know, where this, how deep this story goes and where it ends. But the key quotes, I think, came from a couple of senators. One was in the Lee Newspapers article, the quote was from Senator Mark Nolan. And it was, so whose choice is it to just spend our money? One person's? No, that's why we have a committee. Excuse me. And then the other key quote was in the Nonstop Local story. The Montana story by Senator Emmerich, who said, I feel lied to. He wasn't honest with the committee.
Yeah, so that's really from my perspective, it's a little bit, I don't understand how can that happen? I mean, you've been in the Montana Senate. How can a committee sort of consider this contract, say, no, we don't need to do that? And then how can the chairman of that committee sort of unilaterally do it without the, I mean, is that common in the Montana Senate or what's going on?
Well, it's not common. That's the problem. Brought this issue up not once but twice in committee meetings in early December. And then, the way I read the stories, the day before Christmas, tried to get through two contracts below the $100,000 limit, which would require involving the executive branch in order to funnel this money to his business associate for services. And I'll talk about the services. Not passing, I'm assuming, the legislative staff felt that did not pass the smell test. It certainly doesn't with me.
No, it doesn't. Jeff, we're up. Jeff, we have let me hold that thought for a second here. We have kind of a short segment to start. We'll have more minutes right after this with Jeff Essman talking about.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. With sunny skies for today and some dangerous and cold wind chills early on yet. High temperatures stay from around 12 to 14 degrees. For tonight, we'll see some increasing clouds with low temperatures back around 5 above. And then on Tuesday, we'll see considerable cloudiness and high temperature readings will range in the upper 20s to the mid-30s. Tuesday night, cloudy skies with some scattered snow showers possible. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley.
Coming up on Tuesday's Montana Talks, we are broadcasting live from Capitol Hill in Washington, D.C., the day after President Trump's inauguration as 47th President of the United States. We should have the entire congressional delegation join us at some point. Plus, you never know who else might show up with Montana Talks live from Capitol Hill, sponsored by Yellowstone Family Dental. It's going to be some great coverage. Stay tuned. Tuesday's Montana Talks, statewide 9 to 10. Well, we'll be right back.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
We got a message from Cameron in Billings. He says, wait, a senator is taking advantage of their position in Congress to fill their own pockets? Can't imagine any of our people being corrupt. Hey, Cameron, good point, but one clarification. We're not talking about Congress here. We're talking about the Montana Senate, and we are talking to Jeff Essman, who is still on the lines with us. Jeff, thanks for hanging through that break with us.
No problem. Happy to do it. So Senator Emmerich from out of Great Falls also felt lied to, and that's what brings up the ethics question. Montana Senate's going to have to deal with that, and I hope they deal with it soon.
So Senator Emmerich had, I think his quote was basically, who gets to decide on the spending? And so my understanding is the commit this interim, you know, special judicial reform committee considered this, basically decided, why would we pay somebody else to sort of monitor these bills when we've already got legislative staff that do exactly that? And so they rejected it, and then Senator Ellsworth sort of went, I guess, to the Department of Administration and the governor's administration and got the contract approved. I don't understand how that works, sort of just the mechanics of it. I mean, wouldn't the Department of Administration wanna say, hey, you know, Senator Ellsworth, did your committee vote to approve this? Is that question not asked normally?
Well, it definitely needs to be asked in this situation. And I think that I hope the Senate does the investigation to get to that question. The point here is that this grant was not given to Senator Ellsworth. The grant was given to the committee, and that money belonged to the committee. And if the committee didn't vote to spend the money should have been returned to the general fund to keep the taxes down for the rest of us taxpayers. So that's where the breach of trust has been. You know, he broke his trust with his fellow senators by not abiding by their decision. And you know, this is a matter of public trust, and we have suffered in this country from 40 or 50 years, in my opinion, of the government increasingly lying to us, particularly bad the last four. And if we're ever going to have faith in ourselves and each other, we have got to start calling our leadership to be accountable.
I'm with you on that. So First of all, I love the way you think about that, because it's like, it's just kind of first principles. This is how a lawyer would think, right? It's like, okay, well, let's go back to where did the money come from and what was it for? And if that money was appropriated for the entire committee, then you're right. You know, just following that logically, it'd be like, okay, well, then that the committee needs to approve it. This is not, you know, Senator Ellsworth's sort of individual slush fund. I think that's one issue. I guess for me, the other things that sort of raised red flags about it was not only sort of that it wasn't voted on by the committee and that actually it sort of had been considered and rejected, but number two, that it was for services that sort of had already been provided by legislative staff. And then number three, that it was done to like somebody who has a past history with Senator Ellsworth. And then I guess four, the timing of it was right around the same time, I think, that Senator Ellsworth switched his vote to support the committee rules in the Senate that the governor supported. And I don't know, is any of that part of it true, too? Or are those red flags in your end?
Well, the fourth issue is we can get to that, but that's collateral to the fundamental issue here, which is respect for the body and respect for the committee and respect for the process. And, you know, and some self-respect, frankly, but the Senate is a very flat organization, and any senator can stand up today when they get to order of business on motions and make a motion to have this matter referred to the Ethics Committee so they can begin a process, and due process should be followed. I'm traveling, so I don't have access to my copy of Mason's Rules, which is what the Montana legislature uses as its rules book as opposed to Robert's Rules. But, you know, some due process. He needs to have an opportunity to hear the charges against him. I think they'd be ethical for ignoring the committee process, and an opportunity to respond. And, you know, then the Ethics Commission committee can make a recommendation and the Senate can take an action. And I've expressed on Twitter, I hope he's expelled because, you know, this is a stain against the public trust in my estimation, and it needs to be removed quickly.
Well, asking for there to be a full due process investigation doesn't seem to be a big ask. Have you heard sort of any sort of is there any potential justification to this? Frank, is there any reason not to refer it to the Ethics Committee? I mean, I guess I'd like to give our listeners both sides of the story. I haven't seen sort of any other sides of the story other than just been kind of what's been reported in the media and kind of what you're saying here. But have you heard, you know, from Senator Ellsworth or anybody else about, hey, no, this was totally fine because of something?
I haven't have not heard from any of the senators I, you know, have a relationship with, and there's not many left. I started in the Senate 20 years ago and have been gone for a while, but I haven't heard from any of them that, you know, this needs to be swept under the rug. It needs to be dealt with. Yeah. You know, in terms of whether this study was necessary, I can tell you I served as Senate Majority Leader one session, Senate President one session, and I had partisan staffers that worked for me. We were pursuing legislative packages at that time that had about, had 20-plus bills on them.
Hey, hold that thought, Jeff. We're up against another obscene profit timeout.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
Many of us have lived through the huge changes in the way we get news and information. Where we once read the back of cereal boxes at breakfast, we now thumb our way through comics on our smartphones. And while the national audiences for some news channels has dropped below 1 million, the hits and views on podcasts and online platforms have never been higher. The business model for what is now called legacy news media has changed as well. Once those places got most of their money from large advertisers who crave their audiences. Now many of those organizations have turned to subscribers to remain financially viable. These changes have had more impact on the content than you might appreciate. The need to get approval from your subscribers for your content or to avoid alienating those who pay the bills helps to explain the slants on coverage that are all around us. And the respect for those who service that content, currently just 28% of Americans say that journalism benefits society, has taken a hit as well. I'm Patrick Barkey.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.
Securing America.
Following Monday's inauguration, President Trump's promised deportation of many illegal migrants, especially those who have committed crimes, is expected to start as soon as Tuesday. Trump border czar Tom Homan on Fox this weekend.
President Trump's had it. He has no patience.
He says so-called sanctuary cities, including Chicago, where specific deportation plans were leaked, will not stand in the way. Florida Republican Congressman Byron Donalds telling the Fox News Rundown podcast,
"It is a national security threat to our nation. We must secure our borders."
On NBC's Meet the Press Sunday, Democratic House Minority Leader Hakeem Jeffries encouraged the incoming administration to
focus on violent felons, not breaking up families.
Holman says increased border security means lives will be saved, and
that means less sex trafficking of women and children. That means less people on terrorist watch lists entering this country.
Kevin Uretsky, Fox News.
Our live.
How do airplanes fly? What's in this box? What does this thing do?
Kids are curious about everything, including guns. Learn how to store your gun securely and make your home safer at nfamilyfire.org. Brought to you by N Family Fire, Brady, and the Ad Council.
This is where Montana talks at with Lane Nordlund.
On this inauguration day, we see that President-elect Donald Trump has named undersecretary nominees to lead USDA. Trump last week announced he will nominate Richard Fordyce as Agriculture Undersecretary for Farm Production and Conservation and Dudley Hoskins as Undersecretary for Marketing and Regulatory Programs, along with Luke Lindbergh as Undersecretary for Trade and Foreign Ag Affairs and Michael Boren as Undersecretary for Natural Resources and Environment. Fordyce is a fourth-generation soy, corn, and beef cattle farmer who served as the administrator of the Farm Service Agency during Trump's first term and former former Missouri Director of Agriculture. During Trump's first term, Lindbergh served as Chief of Staff and Chief Strategy Officer at the Export-Import Bank. He currently is the President and CEO of South Dakota Trade. Born as a businessman who has founded six companies, including Clearwater Analytics, with Hoskins, currently serving as legal counsel to the Senate Ag Committee. Previously, he spent 4 years at USDA during Trump's first term as the Chief of Staff for Marketing and Regulatory Programs. In other news, USDA has announced 2025 enrollment periods for key safety net programs, including ag-risk coverage, price loss coverage, and dairy margin coverage. ARC and PLC applications can be submitted between January 21st and April 15, with DMC running from January 29th to March 31st. I'm Wayne Northblonde.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint. This is where Montana talks.
A few minutes. I'm going to tweet out some photos so you can see my show location. You can see my remote broadcast studio here this morning. Third floor fan window location of the Montana Capitol. I'm overlooking the beautiful rotunda under the Capitol Dome right now. We've got some good highline style snow falling behind us as the front steps of the Capitol and the flags are behind me here at the fan window location. But yeah, we're here live this Friday because Monday is co-op day at the Capitol. And speaking of our co-ops, we've got Carson Sweeney with Fergus Electric Cooperative out of Central Montana with us right now. Carson, hey, how you doing? Great to have you as our very first guest for our Co-op Day at the Capitol preview show here.
Yeah, good morning, Aaron. I just want to start with how impressed I am that you are at the Capitol, 6 in the morning, getting busy, chatting with the legislators as they're starting the day. Thanks for being up there and representing us in Helena, sir.
Well, it's great. We got Ryan Hall here from, you know, the editor of the Rural Montana Magazine with Mecca here as well. He lined up an impressive lineup of guests, starting with you here. So, and it is fun. And then we just had Eric Albus, a newly elected lawmaker out of Hinsdale, Montana.
Oh, I guess so I was making a mistake there on the schedule here, folks. Sorry, I took a little break when I shouldn't have been. We got Jeff Estman on the line. Jeff, we got a couple of minutes here left. I'll guess I'll give you a chance to make some closing comments. Thanks so much for sticking with us.
Well, we were talking about the need for the legislative study, and I can tell you I don't think it takes 24 months to study the outcome of a package of 27 bills. I had studies like that done as majority leader and Senate president before we left Helena, frankly, back in 11 and 13. If you were starting cold after the session was over, you know, maybe 2 months at $7,000, but not 24 months at $7,000. I mean, it just does not pass the smell test.
I agree. Well, any closing comments?
Well, I'm optimistic the Montana Senate will bring some accountability. I mean, I believe that failure to bring accountability to a member who has ignored
his committee's
request, that's a breach of trust. The irony is they were working on judicial accountability bills. And that effort's going to be undermined if they don't create accountability for themselves first. So,
no, that's a good point. Yeah, no,
the matter needs to be dealt with.
Well, thank you so much. Go ahead.
Yep, you bet. It's they own their vote. Their leadership has got to decide how to handle it. I just want to encourage them to move quickly.
Well, I think that's a really good point. Thanks so much, Jeff. I mean, I think it's a really good point you said there at the end in terms of, look, if the Senate and the legislature wants to hold the judiciary to a high standard and to really reform the judiciary and talk about how the judiciary has gone outside of their lane of constitutional power, well, then you better have your own house in a row. You better have your own ducks in a row or whatever phrase you want to use there in the legislature, because that could that could be a big problem to trying to say you're gonna reform the court system at the same time. You may not be willing to reform your own house. I don't know I'm just kind of sitting here. All I've read on that story is what's in the mainstream media, and obviously what folks like Jeff Essman have said about it. I think there's a lot there. I agree with Jeff Essman. I mean, I think at a bare minimum, let's get an ethics committee investigation. I'd like to hear the counter argument. I'd like to hear how the process is supposed to work and why this did or did not follow that process. I'd like to hear a substantive response from Senator Ellsworth and from the company that got the contract and from the Department of Administration, frankly, as well. One thing I'm excited about is Aaron Flint, hopefully, will be calling in here shortly. Hopefully, we have a live update from Aaron Flint here coming up. And then at the 8 o'clock hour, we're hoping to have Matt Monforton join the show live to talk about something else going on here at the Montana Senate today. I think there's going to be a Senate hearing on a bill to require warrants to take a kid from their parents, with the only exception being sort of imminent physical harm. I think we're going to have Matt Monfort talk about that. And there's the bumper music. I think we may have a news update here at 7:30. I've got some updates for you about what's going on in D.C. as well with Aaron, with the Trump inauguration about to get started. Got some other Montana stories here as well. And then, of course, 12 disgraceful acts of President Biden out of the Federalist.com. There's a lot there, too. We'll be right back. David Noble live here filling in for Aaron Flint, who is in Washington, D.C. right now. You can find me online at LectureFan. You can find me by searching David Noble with a K. Here's a story about Montana. Montana will now send as many as 600 state prisoners to Arizona and Mississippi. Credit to KPAX on this story. Officials say transferring the prisoners is needed to manage prison populations at the Montana State Prison. Montana DOC has sent 120 prisoners for each of the past 2 years to a privately run prison in Arizona by CoreCivic. Officials with the department say they're now going to send another 120 inmates, raising the total to 364. And then on Thursday, late last week, another deal was announced for another 240 inmates to a Mississippi facility. Great, empty out the Montana prison and send them to private prisons in another state, so that we can start getting all of these state prisoners that are being housed in places like the Yellowstone County Jail, get them sent off to the state prison. And so I'm all in favor of all this. 600 state prisoners are having to be shipped out of state to private prisons. You have to assume that that's costlier on us Montana taxpayers than just housing them in the state prison. I really don't know, but certainly just the transportation down to Arizona or Mississippi would be an additional cost you wouldn't have to incur if we had the prison space here in Montana. So it'd be nice to see something like that happen where we don't have to spend excess money, and maybe we just get the prison size to a situation where it actually can fill the number of prisoners that we have in this state. That would be one idea. Open phones if you want to call in, 406-294-0970. Really looking forward to hearing an update from Aaron. Here's the good news, though. Even though, and we were talking earlier in the show about how President Trump's plans to do ICE raids on Chicago on Tuesday got leaked, and now they're sort of reconsidering that. I was blown away about the idea that they could even be thinking about doing ICE raid, immigration raids on Tuesday. I would have assumed that the ICE officers simply wouldn't be prepared after 4 years of being told that you're not allowed to do immigration raids to now suddenly you can do that in one day. I would have anticipated you needed more prep time and lead up time than that. But no, I mean, apparently they're ready to go, and Trump can, I saw something about Trump maybe signing up to 200 executive orders. Or I think what's going to happen is Trump is going to sign, it sounds like Trump is going to sign dozens, approaching 100 today, and he may start approaching 200 here in a couple of weeks as we finalize them and get them signed. I agree with Trump. Sign them all now. Just get them all signed. Get them all in place. No reason to wait. Oh, boy. There's going to be a lot. Apparently, Democrats are getting ready to sue Doge.
Hey, this is crazy. I'm right in front of Fox News. Just ran into Montana Governor Greg Gianforte. Governor, you get to be inside the Capitol for President Trump's inauguration.
This is a big day. We're here with the other governors, and I am so excited to see these executive orders and number 47 get to work.
This is incredible. What's it like just being here for this moment? It's morning in America. The sun is shining.
People are so optimistic. And we've been here. We had, you know, a couple hundred Montanans here in force to be here for this big day. Just excited. And I think I'm getting called. I got to go.
Give the president our best.
Okay. Thank you, Aaron.
If you call D&D, the movie, do not disturb when you're driving. And when you're going from point A to B, I need you to stay safe, please, so always sing with me. So put your phone on D&D, the movie, do not disturb when you're driving. And when you're going from point A to B, I need you to stay safe, please, so always remember this beat.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
We've got Aaron Flint on the phones live from D.C. Aaron, thanks for calling.
Hey, David, great to be with you. Hey, first off, let me give a big shout out to Yellowstone Family Dental. They're making this inaugural coverage happen today and tomorrow. So, of course, Yellowstone Family Dental is really the Northwest's premier dental implant center, and they're right here in Montana. Go to MontanaDentalImplants.com. But hey, David, this is really cool. Did you see my tweet when I was yelling out to Al Sharpton, "Hey Al, we're making America great," and I got some photos of that. If anybody missed it, go to x.com/Aaron Flint. But so I went to get a cup of coffee right across the street from Fox News and NBC, and then, you know, I'm getting my cup of coffee, kind of just walking around Capitol Hill. And I go past all these obvious VIPs. There's security everywhere. They're loading these guys on buses. My phone rings. It's Governor Greg Gianforte. He says, "Aaron, I'm looking at you right now. I'm in the first bus. Get back here." So I swing back over there, and I sent you a quick little back and forth that I did with the governor. He will be inside the Capitol for the inauguration today. And I understand First Lady Susan Gianforte will be in there with him as well. So very cool.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. I just saw a tweet about how the congressional offices are a little bit down this morning because apparently there's just not enough room for everybody in the congressional offices and their staff who wanted to watch the swearing-in ceremony. And I certainly understand that. I'd want to watch that too.
Yeah. You know, it's weird being at the Capitol. Well, first off, it's an incredible morning. It's an incredible day. I was sitting in the little coffee shop here, getting a cup of coffee, charging my phone, and there was this couple, and they had just this beautiful little baby girl, and I ran into them on the street. I said, "Man, I want to get a picture of you guys because this is real America, and this is what it's all about." And they got their little girl here, and it's a beautiful sunny morning, nice, crisp, cool air. And you can just, you know, all the people, all the families with their Trump gear on, their Trump, you know, knitted caps and everything. And the sun is shining, but it is weird seeing all the fencing around the Capitol. I mean, it's not just when they talk about the fencing around the Capitol, the fencing is up like two blocks away from the Capitol, right across the corner of D Street and Louisiana Avenue where I'm standing right now. And so it's just weird how the whole thing is just barricaded off.
Well, and you know, it's like, the reality is that I do think that there's probably some security reasons for why they moved the swearing in ceremony indoors, because here's the reality. There's already been multiple assassination attempts on Donald Trump's life. There's obviously a hatred out there of Donald Trump that's stretched into the violence area. And so, the reality is they've got more reason to have barricades and securities up now than they did previously because of that.
That's right. Well, and Look, I think, you know, obviously President Trump's spokeswoman came out and said it's not because of security, it's because of weather. But look, weather can be an added factor when it comes to security, because if you've got a bunch of people staying out overnight to get the good spot in line, and then now people fall out, they become cold weather casualties. Well, then you got first responders that might be diverted to assist people that are cold weather casualties. Well, that also, you know, throws you off your game for when it comes to security. And look, I think anybody, ask any right-minded American right now, and nobody trusts our federal government security apparatus because of this Biden regime and the absolute train wreck that they have been, the way that elements of this Department of Injustice were weaponized against not just Donald Trump, but against the American people. And so I think there's a lot of people who just do not trust this, you know, outgoing regime right now to secure this country, to secure our capital. I mean, look at what they've done to our southern border.
Well, I'm having a little bit difficulty this morning just on the vibe check here, because I'm in a great mood this morning. I'm extremely happy. I'm optimistic. I'm hopeful. I mean, this is the dawning of a new golden age in American history. There's so much to be positive about. But then this news with Joe Biden pardoning Fauci and the other criminals that have been pardoned by Joe Biden this morning. What's the vibe on the ground in D.C.? Is everybody sort of laughing that off and trying to look forward? Or is it like, no, here we go again. We've got to deal with more and more corruption and abuses by the Biden admin.
Yeah, how symbolic for the Joe Biden administration to go out by pardoning more criminals, right? I mean, that's been the par for the course. No one is above the law, yeah, except for Hunter Biden and a laundry list of other dirty, corrupt Democrats and Biden family members. I mean, you know, I ran into a guy at, you know, on the plane in Billings, and you know, when we were trying to get out, and he said, "Hey, you going to the inauguration?" And I said, "Yeah," and we were both like, "Yeah, all right, Joe, time to go. Get the hell out," you know, because this administration, it is such a slap in the face to the people who have built this country, who have fought for this country, who have sacrificed for this country. And these corrupt clowns here in Washington, D.C. that sit here high on the hog and go to their fancy parties while the rest of America struggles, you know, get Joe, time to go, get the hell out of here. But no, but I think the mood so far of what I'm seeing here is everybody's smiling, you know, everybody's got their Trump gear on, you know, unless you're Al Sharpton's little corrupt entourage walking into fake news NBC. Everybody's happy. They're excited. Yeah, Joe Biden's doing more damage to the country on his way out, but that's been par for the course for the last 4 years. So, I think we are going to see this golden era of America. And, you know, I sent a tweet out a few minutes ago, David, where I said, you know, hey, we've all had setbacks in life, but looking back, you bounced back and were even stronger after your setback. And the Biden regime has been a setback for America, but we're going to bounce back even stronger. And, you know, we had to see the failures of Fauci and the COVID BS. We had to, just like we saw the failures of Steve Bullock when he was the Democrat governor of Montana. Now the people know what the Democrats will do when they get power. Never again.
Isn't that fantastic? If you're a Democrat, you view Joe Biden as, hey, your number one job, Joe Biden, is to prevent Donald Trump from retaking the White House. You had one job, Joe Biden, and you failed. If you're a Democrat, that's what you got to be thinking, isn't it?
Yeah, you know, two concerns I have. You know, you talked about the vibe shift. Yes, today's goal. Look, I got a big old pickup now. Yeah, there we go. Big Trump one pickup going by. Dooley. Anyway, good stuff here.
Yeah, and if you need to go, if you need to go at any time, just say so. You know, we got Kat on the line here waiting. So whenever you're ready.
Well, you got to get to her, man, because she is. She's just been on fire throughout the whole course of this election, but. The one vibe shift thing I would change with you is that, you know, what concerns me is you got, you know, Bill Gates, Zuckerberg, you know, okay, Zuckerberg, apparently he's going to be here today. Is this a real conversion, or are these guys just trying to bide their time, make Donald Trump think that they're his friends now, and, you know, and then get away with, like, you know, the censorship and all the garbage that they've been a part of in this country as well. I think Donald Trump, you know, he's one of those guys that's kind of like the line we had in Ramadi, Iraq back in the day, which was smile, be courteous, but have a plan to kill everybody you meet. Donald Trump knows who these guys are. He's going to smile. He's going to shake their hands. He's going to work with them. But he's going to be ready to also, you know, put the screws to them if he has to.
Yeah, well, thank you so much, Aaron, and huge shout-out to Yellowstone Family Dental for sponsoring the live show you're going to be doing tomorrow from Capitol Hill. I'm looking forward to that.
And the coverage today, I mean, if I was sitting somewhere doing the radio show, I wouldn't have been able to run into Governor Gianforte. I wouldn't have been able to go, you know, get some of these photos of Al Sharpton and more. So, yeah, big thanks. Go to MontanaDentalImplants.com. And, yeah, big thanks to Yellowstone Family Dental. Thanks, David, for covering down.
Hey, thank you, Aaron. Great call to have you on, as always. I got a couple of comments and a couple of things to say about that, but I want to go to Kat in eastern Montana first. Kat, thank you so much for calling.
Yeah, thank you. Good morning. It's so nice to hear Aaron, and I'm just so glad things are going to be different now in our country. But I just wanted to touch real briefly on these prisoners, 600 of them being sent to Arizona and Mississippi. I just want to go on the record saying that I do not agree with that. That is not okay. We have gangs in those prisons and an entire different element now mixed with criminals from Montana. So now they will come back bringing those associations.
Oh, that's a good point.
Back,
yeah,
to Montana.
Right, because
and
most
then
people
also on top of that,
most people you may go into prison as sort of a baby criminal or sort of an introductory level criminal. You may come out as a top tier, you know, gang member criminal type of thing, right?
Absolutely. And if you've ever spent any time in the municipalities of Arizona, you will know that you will bring back those associations to Montana. They it just is what it is. But then on top of that, I believe it is a form of human trafficking. So those are my takes on that. I absolutely disagree with all of it. We need to keep our criminals in Montana so we're not exposing them to larger elements of criminal activity.
No, I think that's a good point. And I think the reason that we're having to deal with it is because we had 8 years or 16 years or how many of it was here in Montana of failed Democratic leadership. And so now, you know, you've got, and then, of course, I also think we're feeling the same effects here in Montana that you saw of increasing crime nationally. And so we're in an emergency situation here where our prisons filled up, our jails are filled up. We haven't been building the prisons and jails because the Democrats have been in control for so long. And then you get a Democrat in the White House, you see skyrocketing crime, and here we are. So that's a great point, Kat. Something I hadn't thought of, Kat, about sending these Montana prisoners down there. They're going to get worse and then come home. That's a great point. We'll be right back. Montana Talks.
Hey, Fidelity. What's it cost to invest with the Fidelity app?
Start with as little as $1 with no account fees or trade commissions on U.S. stocks and ETFs.
That's music to my ears.
I can only talk.
Investing involves risk, including risk of loss. Zero account fees apply to retail brokerage accounts only. Sell order assessment fee not included. A limited number of ETFs are subject to a transaction-based service fee of $100. See full list at fidelity.com/commissions. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC, member NYSE, SIPC.
Fox News commentary.
Rapper Drake is suing his own record label over sour grapes in a lost rap battle. I'm Tommy Lahren. More next.
It is time to take the quiz.
5 days a week, it's five questions in less than 5 minutes. We ask people on the streets of New York City to play along. Let's see how you do.
Including the pre-Super Bowl era, what NFL franchise has won the most NFL championships?
I'm going to say the Cowboys.
I guess I would say the Packers.
How'd you do exactly? These get tougher, so hang on.
Take the quiz every weekday at thequiz.fox. Thank you for taking the quiz.
Drake is suing a branch of his own record label, UMG, over the wildly popular Kendrick Lamar diss track, Not Like Us. Drake and Kendrick went back and forth with the diss tracks over a period of a few months, and with the song Not Like Us, Kendrick Lamar definitively won. Part of what made the song so viral was Kendrick's blatant accusation that Drake is a pedophile. That's also the basis of the lawsuit against UMG, which reps both rappers, albeit in different entities. Lamar is not mentioned in the suit. The defamation lawsuit claims UMG approved, published, and launched a campaign to create a viral hit out of a rap track that was intended to convey the specific, unmistakable, and false factual allegation that Drake is a criminal pedophile, and to suggest that the public should resort to vigilante justice in response. The lawsuit is not only petty, it may be more embarrassing for Drake than the diss track itself. I'm Tommy Lahren, and you can watch my show, Tommy Lahren is Fearless, at Outkick.com.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. With sunny skies for today and some dangerous and cold wind chills early on yet. High temperatures safe around 12 to 14 degrees. For tonight, we'll see some increasing clouds with low temperatures back around 5 above. And then on Tuesday, we'll see considerable cloudiness and high temperature readings will range in the upper 20s to the mid-30s. Tuesday night, cloudy skies with some scattered snow showers possible. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley.
Coming up on Tuesday's Montana Talks, we are broadcasting live from Capitol Hill in Washington, D.C., the day after President Trump's inauguration as 47th President of the United States. We should have the entire congressional delegation join us at some point. Plus, you never know who else might show up with Montana Talks live from Capitol Hill, sponsored by Yellowstone Family Dental. It's going to be some
and money your home deserves.
Brought to you from the Montana Hot Spring Spas and Saunas Live Well, Feel Better Studio. This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
What in the world is going on in Park County? Apparently, the Park County Commissioners put out an isolation and quarantine plan for a future pandemic and giving law enforcement the power to arrest Park County residents if you violate isolation and quarantine. What is anybody that knows what the heck is going on in Park County, please call in 294-0970, 294-0970. This is a story from KBZK. Some Park County residents are concerned as the health board considers a new draft of an isolation and quarantine plan. Personal freedoms are kind of our God-given right, and sometimes I feel like there is government overreach to the point that it starts to make people uncomfortable, said Livingston resident Sally Dahl. The 16-page draft proposal includes protocols for isolation and quarantine measures in the event of a pandemic. Why is Park County putting out plans to isolate and quarantine American citizens? That is a constitutional rights violation. Do these Park County commissioners not understand our constitutional rights as American citizens? So the Livingston residents actually went and read this 16-page thing, and what they described it as very, very stringent and terrifying. It's really scary, and they're super intense. One section of the Park County in Livingston isolation and quarantine plan for another pandemic says that residents, one section that has residents on edge is, quote, the involuntary detention for isolation and quarantine clause for anyone suspected of being exposed to a pandemic. And if you don't cooperate with health officials, the sheriff's office can execute arrest warrants if you don't comply with pandemic isolation and quarantine requirements. How could this possibly be happening in Montana? In any county. Park County, Livingston, Montana. This is not Missoula or Boat. This is Park County and Livingston putting in place isolation and quarantine plans to have American citizens, the citizens of Montana, arrested and put in jail for violating the health officers or the health board's isolation and quarantine requirements. So the KBZK goes on to quote Ms. Dahl. They could determine after your quarantine what medical treatment so that you can get out of the quarantine. And that medical treatment could possibly be a medication or a drug. And you don't want to take it. But guess what? Under new Park County Commissioner's little plan, you get arrested and thrown in jail if you don't want to take their little pandemic drugs or their pandemic shot, or you don't want to isolate or quarantine. Wow. Ms. Dahl's again quoted as saying that she has... she says the plan shows an extreme lack of trust on the part of the local government and makes her question the motivations. People have common sense. They should be allowed to demonstrate what they can do that, says Ms. Dahl. And then guess what? Guess what the big, big concern from the Park County commissioners was after all of this caused this huge uproar. So the Park County commissioners put out an isolation and quarantine plan calling for the arrest by the sheriff's office of anybody that disagrees with isolation, quarantine, and medication of a future pandemic. Park County commissioners want the sheriff to come and arrest you if you don't obey health officers' orders on isolation, quarantine, and medications, and probably vaccines too. But instead of actually addressing the citizens' concerns and going, oh, yeah, this sounds exactly like what Fauci would do if he was a Park County commissioner. This is a bad idea. This violates our fundamental human rights. No, instead of that, they're all upset because some Park County residents allegedly threatened the health officials. Oh, boy, oh, boy. It's like, why? Why is it that all these places have to constantly have to push back against...